This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Who is afraid of the big bad wolf? The little pigs should be, right? And Little Red Riding Hood and Peter, of course. Wolves are the ultimate bad guys in fairy tales and myths. They hide in the shadows, they'll do anything to deceive and ultimately eat their victims. But despite that bad rap, and perhaps with an assist from nature documentaries, wolves hold a special allure for many people. They are fascinated by their grace, beauty, their pack behavior, and of course those yellow eyes. In fact, some people love wolves so much they want to have one as a pet, and this is where wolf dogs come in. They are a hybrid bred from a wolf and a dog. They are illegal to keep in many states, and they are really expensive. A puppy can cost several thousand dollars, and it often turns out to be a bad idea. Irina Zhorov explains.
The visitors to a large pen at Howlingwoods Farm in rural New Jersey are equal parts awed by the yellow-eyed, wolfy creatures who circle them and uneasy at their strength.
Oh, my. That's so scary.
That's intimidating to look at.
They're wolf dogs, who happen to be legal in this state, and the rescue facility is home to just under 20 animals. One of the volunteers leading the tour, Michelle Persiano, looks on at them with affection. She's got a thing for wolves.
They're in charge. They're regal. They're very majestic and almost mysterious.
She's wearing a necklace with a pendant featuring a handsome wolf dog.
This is Naiche. It's a silver pendant hand-pressed with a photo of him in his winter coat.
She says she always wears something Naiche. She even has a hat woven from his fur.
It's pretty bad when I go to a doctor and the first thing they say to me is, how's Samson and Naiche today? Not me, but...
Naiche and Samson are both high-content wolf dogs, which means they have a lot of wolf in them. They're Persiano's favorites. She doesn't have any wolf dogs of her own, but she's at the farm 5 days a week and is clearly smitten. A lot of people get wolf dogs because, like Persiano, they've always loved wolves. The animals hold a mythical place in our cultural history. For others, the appeal is something else.
Mostly ego. They want to tell people, I have a wolf.
That's Michael Hodanish, who owns Howlingwoods. The place runs mostly on donations and volunteer help. He says wolf dogs aren't dangerous, but they are a lot of work.
They're much more independent. They're much more difficult to have as pets. The higher content animals, they don't like being confined. They don't like being inside a home. If you bring them inside the house, they may get anxious.
They can become very destructive indoors, so they need an outdoor pen with tall fences. They're pack animals, so they don't do well without canine companions. For food, they eat raw meat, not kibble. Lots of raw meat. And they're not good guard dogs. They expect the owner, their alpha, to protect them. When people realize all this about their wolf dogs, they sometimes abandon them. Hodanish takes them in when he has room. He breaks away from the tour and walks along tall, heavy-duty pens with beautiful lupine dogs in them.
We have Thunder over there. Thunder came from Texas about 2 months ago. And then we have Winona over here. She actually came from New York City, where she was found as a stray a couple years ago.
So somebody in New York City was like, it's a good idea for me to get a wolf dog.
Exactly, and it happens all the time. And I'm sure the breeder said, oh yeah, she'll be fine. She'll be a good pet for you.
Most of the dogs here have some wolf in them, but they have vastly different personalities and looks. Some approach the fences like a dog would. Others stay away. Some have the lean legs of a wolf. Others have the thicker frames of northern breeds. These clearly identifiable differences, wolf, dog, initially made scientists classify them as different species, says biologist Heidi Parker. She researches the dog genome.
Taxonomy used to be based on physical characteristics and things like where they lived in the wild, whether or not they would ever be in contact with each other, whether or not their mating habits coincided in such a way that they would regularly interact or interbreed. And a lot of these things sort of set dogs apart.
When technology made mapping the animal's genomes possible, biologists found that dog and wolf DNA are actually really similar. Just about 1% of the genome is different between a domestic dog, Canis lupus familiaris, and the wolf, Canis lupus. 1%. Dogs were reclassified as a subspecies of the wolf, a nod to their evolutionary origins. But that 1% is the difference between a pet and a wild animal.
Just imagine there were 100 different genes that sort of differentiate these dog-wolf behaviors and perhaps appearance.
When mixed, the results are unpredictable.
You would have a chance at every one of these 100 genes of getting, you know, randomly dog or wolf version. And you have no idea which ones are the ones that are going to show up in your offspring. And it'd be kind of like flipping a coin.
You could end up with something that acts like a dog but looks like a wolf. Or you could get a wolf dog with a very wolfy personality, which makes for a high-maintenance pet, especially in urban areas. Howling Woods' Michael Hodanish says that's often when people abandon them. So the wolf dogs straddle an odd lineage of unfettered wildness and domesticated neediness, a forced and unsettling combination that makes them an ill fit in both the wolf and dog worlds.
Oh, they might get them to howl now.
As the tour winds down, the volunteers start to howl to make the wolf dogs sing. All the dogs join in, but there's one, Bandit, that can't quite get a howl going. He's mostly dog, and not all dogs can make that noise. But something in him still makes him want to join in with his pack.
That's Pulse reporter Irina Zhorov reporting.
Arrrr!